Hello everyone, I'm Zoe, and welcome back to the Dubox Show for STEM Athena Project. Today I'm going to look at the great female astronomers and take an international perspective and look at the details of some of their contributions which may usually be overlooked. I'm going to start today with one of the Nobel laureates this year, Andrea Gaze. Professor Gaze was born in New York, US in 1965. She is currently at the Department of Physics and Astronomy at the University of California, Los Angeles. Over history, in more than 100 years of time, there were only in total 4 females being awarded a Nobel Prize in Physics. So you can tell how rare it is for women to receive this prize. Her getting the Nobel Prize really excited me as a female student studying astronomy. That women are gaining increasing recognition for their work in humans' exploration of our future and the past, which should be aimed at the universe. Professor Gaze shared half the prize jointly with another astronomer, Genzo, for the discovery of a supermassive object at the center of the Milky Way, which is a black hole now called Sagittarius A. This research result was remarkable because it confirms the object at the center of the galaxy in which we live and helps us better understand the structure of the galaxies. Both teams led by Genzo and Gaze use infrared images to learn about Sagittarius A, whilst it is actually invisible on those images. So a breakthrough was actually achieved by Professor Gaze's team with the discovery of a star traveling extremely close to Sagittarius A. Gaze also applied Kepler's third law to derive the mass of Sagittarius A, together with the studying of the orbit, the speed, and the distance of the star to Sagittarius A. They confirmed that Sagittarius A to be a black hole. So, to put this process in a simpler way, there are a large number of stars surrounding Sagittarius A at the center of Milky Way, like a group of bees. By observing and studying them, researchers including Gaze figure out that those bees are flying around, is actually a black hole which has great gravitational force attraction. Professor Gaze is one of the leaders who certified the idea of a supermassive black hole in the Milky Way. And this idea was actually proposed decades ago. And now, with advanced technology, more detailed information is made available to humans about the mysterious of the universe. And Professor Gaze was one of the leaders who figured that out in first place. I personally feel very, very inspired by her work because the study of astronomy is not easily done in many ways. Although as an IB student doing it, I would say it's just normally like a subject study, but for actual astronomy research, it is way more difficult. Firstly, human lifespan is almost nothing compared to those stars, so no need to mention galaxies. So you can see how hard and rare and lucky that human beings, especially those astronomers who achieve those contributions, are lucky enough to actually have the opportunity in their lifetime to learn more about the universe, like Professor Gaze and all the other astronomers who've discovered the great mysterious of the universe. Also, it is very, very hard to do group observation of interstellar objects, which required us to take many different variables into account, such as light reflection. So as I just mentioned that, it was actually impossible for people to look at Sagittarius A or receive its emitting information on infrared images because it's a black hole. But Professor Gaze and Genzo was make it possible to look at Sagittarius A by observing the stars surrounding it, which was actually a breakthrough. So I would say that Professor Gaze has the fortune to be in this period of time when technology advancements allow her to achieve such accomplishments. But I mean, she's also a bold and progressive scientist whose characteristics support her to reach such an admirable result. I would say, as far as I know, women are often seen as underrepresented in the physics field. I mean, we can compare the numbers of female Nobel laureates in physics and those in physiology and medicine. I mean, don't take me wrong, female scientists in physiology and medicine are definitely great. But from the number difference, we can actually see the similar pattern that much fewer girls are doing physics in our school than those who are doing biology and chemistry. So if we really want equal representation of female in all sciences, then I think more girls should be encouraged to take physics if they would like to, and they don't need to worry about the conventional cultural norms that saying, well, physics doesn't sound like a girl subject at all. I mean, it's just nothing. I took astronomy part of because I was really, really interesting in this subject, because I think it is always so amazing to look up at dark sky and like thinking about the great objects out there. And I think it is very extraordinary that as human beings who can just live like probably up to 100 years of life, that we are actually being able to understand something much, much older than us. And I think it's something beyond our imaginary, but also close to our reach. So that's why I think astronomy is so amazing. So moving on, I would like to introduce a Chinese female astronomer from 200 years ago. Her name, pronounced in Mandarin, is Wang Zhenyi. So if we pronounce it easier in English, it'll be Wang Zhenyi. To be honest, the first time I learned about her was actually from a social media article. This article was on the Chinese social media WeChat. And this article writes that it was an illustration of Wang that was being printed on a European postcard. And a Chinese blogger posted a photo of this postcard onto China's Twitter, Weibo. And Chinese netizens just suddenly figure out and learn about this great astronomer around China as a whole. To be honest, Wang was not famous in China before then, before the blogger posted the photo of her illustration on the postcard. Whilst she was actually very highly commended in the West, and she had a crater on Venus named after her in 1994, and an asteroid in the year 2000, which was quite impressive, actually. I actually feel a bit ashamed after I know about her from the article, because as a female astronomy student, I don't even know about such a great female astronomer from my own country. But I also think that this actually reflects how women are overlooked in science field. So now I would like to share with you some of Wang's background information. She lived in the 18th century during the Qing Dynasty. Wang's hometown was in Anhui province in East China, but unlike most of the women during that time, she traveled around the country since very young and attained a very good knowledge of China. Wang was born to a family with good atmosphere of academic pursuit and scientific mindset. Her family members were all well-taught and they had impressive stocks of books. They're saying that there were about like 75 shelves of books. Since a very young girl, Wang learned widely and diligently of many different subjects, from mathematics to poetry, from geography to medicine, and many, many more. No need to mention astronomy. Very different from a conventional figure of young women at that time, Qing Dynasty, who should always be asked to stay at home, learning embroidery only and doing course. Wang was studying really, really hard of different subjects, and she was also a very good horse rider and archer. And the skills that she had was actually being learned from a wife of a Mongolian general when her family traveled near that region. Wang also achieved remarkable academic accomplishments over her short lifetime. She wrote a book explaining that the Earth is round like a sphere, and she also did an experiment explaining the lunar eclipse. It is also said that she was an advocate for the heliocentric theory, which was promoted by Copernicus. There were many more topics she explored in astronomy, and she was also good at mathematics. Quite a few of Wang's books were simple explanations of mathematical theories for the public, which is actually very progressive during the that historical period when sciences were often undervalued, unlike Chinese literature. Apart from being an outstanding scientist, Wang was also a good poet, but her works were not prominent in feminine features that people usually thought of. Instead, she expressed her thoughts and views for the world and the commoners. Besides of her academic work, I also very much admire Wang's progressive attitudes as a powerful woman, as shown in her poems. So here I would like to share with you guys one of the poems, which is as the following. It's made to believe women are the same as men. Are you not convinced daughters can also be heroic? So Wang believed deeply in gender equality, which was almost unthinkable in the Qing dynasty. She didn't compromise to the social norms of women being less capable. And she said that if given equal quality of education, women could absolutely be as good as men. I was deeply moved when I learned about Wang's stories and her legacies. I mean, as a girl being provided with good education over the years, I'm lucky to be protected from sexual discriminations, which will undermine my growth potentially. But being in the Qing dynasty, Wang was not only able to become a brilliant scientist under such conventional social norms, which were actually hurdles for her growth, but she also upheld her belief of gender equality very firmly. Wang's husband, worth mentioning, was very supportive to Wang's academic research and even her tutoring to male students, which was unbelievable in ancient times because of the distance that people were saying that women and men should keep. They had a very happy marriage, but unfortunately it was ended by Wang's death when she was only 29. But over her short lifetime, Wang actually achieved massive contributions in loads of different areas, which I admired very much. I remember that when I was learning about the classification of stars in my astronomy lesson last year, I knew that the modern classification that we have now was based on the enormous amount of study on spectral lines of hundreds of thousands of stars. This study was started in the Harvard College Observatory starting in the late 19th century, and many, many female astronomers contributed to the final result. Some of them were leaders, including Willia M. Minna Flammen and Annie Jump Cannon. However, female astronomers back then faced social obstacles, including not allowing them to use telescopes for research and earning similar salaries as men. But actually, without their efforts, humans cannot acquire the astronomical knowledge that we have now, and especially in this case, the classification of the stars. So coming to the end of our show today, I just want to say that never be held back by the social conventions of women being less qualified in no matter what field. Reflecting on the stories of Professor Gaze, Wang Zhenyi, and many more female astronomers, I'm so confident and proud that women can achieve remarkable accomplishments. And finally, never forget to look up the sky, which is always full of stars. It is for everyone, including you. I'm Zoe. Thank you very much for listening.